Greetings, Hoops heads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Monday, April 16th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. My biggest worry going into the playoffs for the Golden State Warriors was whether or not they would be able to turn on a switch at the right time. Because what I wanted was to see a few good games before the end of the regular season that would allow the Warriors to get into their groove and really come into the playoffs strong. But they didn't do that. They came into the playoffs floundering, winning 7 of their last 17 games and getting trucked by the Utah Jazz in the last game of the season. But still, 58 wins is nothing to sniff at, and this team is known. You know, it has a championship pedigree. Still had the best offense in the league this year by a hair, a top 10 defense. And so you're looking at it and you're saying, yeah, we'll probably be okay. Definitely dodged a bullet in facing the Spurs without Kawhi Leonard in the first round, as opposed to a few other teams who played the Warriors pretty strong. But did they come out and play, or did they come out and play on Saturday? Like, they're a whole new team. Credit immediately goes to Steve Kerr, who inserted Andre Iguodala into the starting lineup for a lineup of Andre at the point forward, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, and JaVale McGee, who played out of his mind, a new playoff career high. We're going to get into that. We're going to talk about this game and about the game tonight, potentially how the Spurs are going to bounce back and what we can expect to see from both teams on TNT this evening. We're also going to do a quick around the NBA and take a look at all of the teams who played over the weekend. The Rockets inched their way into a W over the Minnesota Timberwolves behind James Harden's brilliance, 44 points. And if that's any indication, that game and the game that the Warriors played against the Spurs, then the Rockets are going to have a tougher time getting to the conference finals, especially if they have to play the Oklahoma City Thunder or the Utah Jazz. But the Thunder winning their first game against the Jazz in convincing fashion. 45 points for Paul George and nearly a triple-double, of course, for Russell Westbrook. I thank you for listening to this podcast. You can get it anywhere podcasts are available: iOS, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play, as well as LockedOnWarriors.com and LockedOnSports.com. Make sure you bookmark those pages. You can also find us on Facebook at Locked On Dubs and Locked On NBA Net. You can get in touch with me via Twitter at Koji Tare, KOGITARE. Slide into my DMs, and also via email at Aliko Carter. 11 at gmail.com. That's A-L-I-K-O Carter 11 at gmail. You can also find my work at Forbes.com. I write at the intersection of sports, business, and community impacts for the Sports Money blog at Forbes. I also have written about the Warriors for Bleacher Report in the past. But more than that, I'm a fan. I'm really excited. I'm from Oakland and looking forward to 2 parades down Broadway before the Warriors have to move to San Francisco. And we're right in the beginning of that first journey in a great game, 113-92, just a complete demolition of the Spurs. And we'll start with the defense. A defensive rating of 95.7 for the Dubs, an offensive rating of 117.6. That's a net rating plus 20. Can't remember the last time the Warriors played such great defense, recording a 95.7 on the defensive end, and I can't remember the last time their net rating was better than 20. It was a while ago. But they really were able to flip a switch, turn it on, and I credit that initially to coaching, to inserting Andre Iguodala into the starting lineup, creating a deathly long lineup to start with Andre at the point. And then Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, and JaVale McGee, our most dangerous big man. I don't want to say he's our best big man, but he's definitely the most dangerous, the way he jumps through the roof, especially with Jordan Bell still hobbling from 2 ankle injuries. It was a really good decision to start JaVale McGee, and specifically whoever was guarding LaMarcus Aldridge, whether it was JaVale or Draymond Green or Kevon Looney. The reality is that they held him to 14 points and 2 rebounds. 2 rebounds. that deserves a round of applause. He's going to come back. He's going to get 15 rebounds in the next game. Like, I feel as though LaMarcus knows he can play better and he's going to come out and try to dominate this next game. The Spurs don't play particularly well on the road, and that could have contributed to their offensive woes, but they shot 40%. Still 40% from three, 41% from three, not bad, 9 of 22. But they only took 22 of them, so it's not really going to change anything in the game per se. They did take 24 foul shots, making 19 of them. Back to rebounding, the Spurs were dangerously out-rebounded, recording only 3 offensive rebounds and 30 rebounds total compared with 51 rebounds for the Golden State Warriors, including 10 offensive. And that's without Zaza Pachulia. No Zaza today, but the rest of the Warriors bigs, David West, Kevon Looney, Jordan Bell, and of course JaVale McGee, all did a great job controlling the boards, along with Draymond Green and Kevin Durant and Andre Iguodala. It was just by committee. 8 rebounds apiece for Day-Day and KD, 7 for Andre, 6 for Kevon, 5 for Sean Livingston at the guard position, 4 JaVale, Quinn Cook had 4 at the guard position, David West in 16 minutes had 3, and then 2 apiece from Klay Thompson, Jordan Bell, and Damian Jones, who got some minutes late. Nick Young, also with some late minutes, was 1 of 3 from the field in 8 minutes. I'm not sure I've ever seen the Warriors rebound like this before. They were possessed to get the ball. Possessed. And that's really what I talked about in the series preview with Jeff Garcia of Locked On Spurs. There are 2 things the Warriors had to do. They had to rebound the ball. They couldn't turn the ball over. How many turnovers did the Warriors have? 15. That's like right at the cusp. Right at the cusp of good or bad. If they have fewer than 16 turnovers, they're more likely to win. If they have more than 16, they're more likely to lose or they go 500. But 4 turnovers from Kevin Durant and 3 from Draymond Green, they're going to be handling the ball a lot. It happens. But 11 assists from Draymond Green and 7 from Kevin Durant. 32 assists on the game for the Warriors, and they came from everywhere. But you gotta love Draymond and Kevin Durant taking it upon themselves to be the best players on the floor across the board. That means rebounding the ball. That means passing the ball. That means scoring. 9 of 17 for Durant. 5 of 13 for Draymond Green, including 2 of 6 from 3. I'm not sure I want him taking 6 three-pointers, but he was confident, and he was a plus 21 on the night. Same with KD. Plus 16 for Andre. Plus 16 for JaVale. And a plus 22 for Klay Thompson, who we're going to talk about in the second segment because he was incendiary. One more quick note about rebounding because, wow, 15 second chance points for the Warriors, 34 points in the paint, 0 second chance points for the San Antonio Spurs, and only 22 points in the paint. Simply dominant play from the Warriors on the defensive end and rebounding the ball. We're going to talk about offense here coming up, starting with Klay Thompson. You're listening to the Locked On Podcast Network. And we're back, and we're talking Klay Thompson because he had a hell of a game. 5 of 6 from 3, 25 big points. He was hot. Excuse me, 27 big points. 11 of 13 from the field. He only took 13 shots. Matched with Draymond Green for the second most shots taken behind Kevin Durant. He scored 27 points on 13 shots. 5 of 6 from 3. He didn't take a free throw. 27 points, 13 shots, 0 free throws. That's called shooter's efficiency. That's just efficiency from a shooter. That's all that is. He's not trying to get to the basket. He's not trying to get fouled. You know, KD was 5 of 5 from the free throw line. JaVale McGee got whacked and hacked. He was 5 of 6. 3 of 4 for Sean Livingston, 0 of 0 for Klay Thompson, and he still led the game in scoring. Special, just special. Also had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, just 1 turnover, and a steal. Played great defense on whoever he was guarding, and the Warriors obviously switch happy with that like-size lineup, 6'7", Klay Thompson, 6'7", Draymond Green, 6'7", Andre Iguodala, 6'13", Kevin Durant, and 7'3" JaVale McGee. The rotation's definitely tightened up here. Like I said, no Zaza, and it wasn't until late in the game, really, that Nick Young, Jordan Bell, and Damian Jones really got significant minutes late in the game after it had already been decided. So our Steph-less lineup and rotations include KD, Draymond Green, JaVale, Klay Thompson, Andre, Kevon Looney, Quinn Cook, Sean Livingston, and David West. Those are the nine. Those are the nine you're going to be counting on, especially in this series. And obviously in the next series, Steve Kerr is going to make some different decisions. That is, of course, if the Warriors win. I do want to knock on wood there and not move too forward. Knock, knock. We're good. All right. But, of course, Stephen Curry's return, the return of the Human Torch, set for the next series against either the Portland Trail Blazers or the New Orleans Pelicans, who won Game 1 in Portland on Saturday. But for now, this is who we have, and it's going to ride on Kevin Durant. As I was talking with Jeff Garcia, we noted that Kevin Durant has a little bit of pressure on his shoulders. He's got to be the best player on the floor, and he showed why he can be that guy. 24 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, of course the 4 turnovers, but the assist to turnover ratio is not bad. 7-4, I'll take it, especially with the ball in his hands. Don't like 4 turnovers, but when he is seeing the court as he is, and when the Warriors don't turn the ball over more than 15 times, it's really okay, especially if they win by 21 points. And he was a plus 21 on the night. Kevin Durant was the best player on the floor, and that included Draymond Green and Klay Thompson. Draymond, who had 12 points, 8 rebounds, 11 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Want to spend some time talking about Kevon Looney. He was getting praised by Mike Breen on the broadcast. Kevon is going to be special. He played 20 minutes, and it was really about his defense and offensive rebounding. 2 big offensive rebounds, putbacks, 6 rebounds total. He assisted the ball 3 times, had a block, but he was 3 of 5 from the field, and he was confident. And whoever he was guarding was having trouble. Pau Gasol had some serious trouble when he was dealing with Kevon Looney, and Kevon can be counted on to guard any big on the floor. And then on the switches, coming out and trying to guard guards and succeeding sometimes. It was a good game from Kevon Looney, and we see why he is going to be a part of this playoff rotation. It's too bad about Jordan Bell, who had so much promise early in the season, got injured, and just hasn't been the same player since then. But he's a rookie. Kevon's been around, and it's his time. You remember, Kevon had hip issues, he had weight issues, and everyone was like, what are we going to get from this guy? What does Kevon Looney bring? Well, this season, especially in the second half of the season and the beginning of the playoffs, we've seen what Kevon Looney can do. Defense first, but he can bring that shot. He's got great footwork, and I wouldn't mind seeing him take a few three-pointers next season. You know, he's not ready for that this season. Obviously, only in garbage time will we see him take three-pointers, but that's a part of his game. He can make them. I've seen him in practice make them. Of course, I've seen JaVale McGee in practice make them too, and I don't want to see him shooting three-pointers, but Kevon can do a little bit of everything, and it starts with his defense, his rebounding. But offensively, he can be a fulcrum. He can be a guy that you run screens around, dribble handoffs, and lookaways for good shots. He can be that guy. And he is providing little snippets of that every single game. So good for Kevon. Before we move on to Around the NBA in the next segment, I do want to say a little bit about the San Antonio Spurs. LaMarcus was not that bad considering how bad he was. He just has to rebound the ball better. I don't think he fought the way he normally fights. I'm not sure if he was expecting the Warriors to lay down or anything like that, but the Warriors turned on a switch, and the San Antonio Spurs, I guess, didn't have a switch to turn on. It starts with LaMarcus, obviously. 5 of 12, he only took 12 shots. You expect a guy like LaMarcus to be taking 20 shots in the playoffs without Kawhi Leonard, and he only took 12 shots. He was tentative, 4-4 from the line, only 2 defensive rebounds, just 1 assist. He only turned the ball over. You expect, you know, he just shrunk. He just shrunk. He only turned the ball over twice. You expect with aggressiveness, you know, a bad game from a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge, maybe he turned the ball over a bunch of times. No, he just shrunk. He only had two turnovers, but two rebounds, a steal, a block, 14 points, and a minus 13 on the night. Bryn Forbes, great night for Bryn Forbes, 4 of 8 from the field. He was aggressive, went to the line 7 times, made things happen. And Rudy Gay, in his second all-time playoff appearance, he's been around the block a long time, had a good game, 14 points, 5 of 12. And 6 rebounds, leading the San Antonio Spurs in rebounding. That's just unacceptable. You know Pop is going to be looking at that, starting with the rebounding. I can imagine him yelling and screaming just a little bit. I can also imagine LaMarcus taking blame in the locker room, saying, "Hello, it's me. I'll come back better on Monday." You're listening to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Stay tuned for quick recaps of the other games over the weekend and predictions for tonight. Greetings, Hoops Heads. It's that time. It's time to talk about sponsoring the Locked On Warriors podcast. If your company is interested in a connected audience in the 18 to 49 demographic, you need look no further than Locked On Warriors. Podcasts are where smart advertisers are getting their products to the people, and Locked On Warriors is no different. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, we have all the resources to get your product in front of our audience. That includes very reasonable rates, and I can give you all the details. Just send me an email at alicocarter11@gmail.com. You've got nothing to lose, so get at me. All right, and we're back, and we're talking around the NBA. The playoffs have begun. Each team has played one playoff game, and we'll start with the Houston Rockets. The Rockets, I watched this game. I hope y'all did too. The Rockets are very good. The Minnesota Timberwolves somehow made it a game despite pedestrian outings from Karl-Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler. Not a great game for either player. Conversely, James Harden nearly set a new playoff career high. Harden played 41 minutes in this one, 15 of 26 from the field, 7 of 12 from 3, with 8 assists to boot. Great, great game, though he was only a plus 5 for the night, and that shows how well the Timberwolves played on the defensive end, because other than James Harden and Clint Capella, nobody really got going. Trevor Ariza, PJ Tucker, not great games. Chris Paul, 5 of 14 for 14 points. He was a minus 4 on the night. Clint Capella had a 24 and 12 game, and he's going to be really, really special. He started out strong and had just one of the games of his life, honestly. And but spelled by Nene did all right. He wasn't great, but he did all right. And that's the thing about the Houston Rockets. If their role players don't come to play, then they're beatable. And they were almost beaten by the Minnesota Timberwolves, whose role players definitely came to play. You can call Andrew Wiggins the ultimate role player. He's not an all-star, or hasn't been an all-star yet, but has averaged 20 points a game in his career. Had 18 points in this one, 7 of 15 from the field, just 1 of 3 from 3, but he was aggressive, had 6 rebounds, and made things happen. Derrick Rose also came out with fire. 7 of 14 from the field, made a three-pointer, had 4 assists, and he was good for 16 points. Jamal Crawford, 15. Jeff Teague, 15. Jimmy Butler, only 13, and Karl-Anthony Towns, only 8. And so, here's the thing. Jimmy Butler and Karl-Anthony Towns didn't play well, and the Timberwolves only lost by 3 points. James Harden had the game of his life, except not really, because he's been doing that all season. And the Rockets only won by 3. This is going to be a close series. You can't count on Big Cat and Jimmy Butler to play that poorly again. On the offensive end, they were good defensively. So the Rockets are going to have their hands full in game 2. One game I wasn't able to watch was the game 1 of Portland Trailblazers versus the New Orleans Pelicans. But the Pelicans were able to come in and get a win behind Anthony Davis. 35 points from AD, and New Orleans won the first 2 quarters, holding Portland to 18 apiece, won the third quarter, and then allowed Portland to come back in the fourth, but still were able to get that win 97-95. The Pelicans had 23 points off of the Portland turnovers. There were 10 lead changes, but second chance points, Portland got way more second chance points, way more fast break points, but still weren't able to lead by more than 6 in this game. And that's because of Anthony Davis, 14 of 26, 14 rebounds. He's playing like the superstar that he is. And backed up by Jrue Holiday, who went 10 of 20. Nikola Mirotic, not a great shooting night, 6 of 15. And Ian Clark getting 24 minutes after not really being in the lineup. Good for Ian, 4 of 5 from the field, 10 points. Oh, and Rajon Rondo had 17 assists. No big. On the other side, McCollum and Lillard had really tough shooting nights, 7 of 18 for CJ McCollum and 6 of 23 for Dame, but they both shot the lights out from 3, 4 of 10 for CJ, 4 of 9 for Dame, but only 12 of 39 from 3 and only 37.8% from the floor. That was defense. That simply is very good defense by the New Orleans Pelicans, keeping these stars below their season averages. Moving on, 36 points for Paul George. I mentioned he had more than 40. That was wrong. 36 points leading the Oklahoma City Thunder over the Utah Jazz in a pretty routine game. LeBron didn't shoot until maybe 2 minutes left in the first quarter of game one against the Indiana Pacers. And they got trucked despite LeBron playing well after that point and despite 17 rebounds from Kevin Love. The Pacers are for real. Victor Oladipo is for real. For real. And their role players, Miles Turner, guys like that, are playing extremely well. Same goes for the Embiid-less Philadelphia 76ers, who ended up making quick work of the Miami Heat. Milwaukee and Boston, what a great game. Milwaukee has a chance to take a game in Boston. They almost did it, but too many turnovers. A lot of Giannis, but he fouled out, and deservedly so. That was a foul on the last. He was complaining, but he fouled out legitimately. But Boston definitely, you know, without their stars, they play better than the sum of their parts. And Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are extremely good. Obviously, Al Horford, their most important player now. But Milwaukee has a chance to do some damage. Toronto winning easily over Washington. And that's your Around the NBA for this Monday. That's about as much time as we have left. Tune in tomorrow. I'll be recapping the game against the San Antonio Spurs, game 2. We'll be going around the NBA. We'll be talking everything Dubs. It's going to be fun. Stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.